working on my own version of that, which is more playable just on my guitar with no effects or anything. Plus, there's a lot of words. It's hard for me to keep it all in my head. So, anyway, praise the Lord. Here we are. Here we go. And, yeah, there is a story about the preaching Bible and the throwing Bible. I don't know if anybody heard of that before. But, the old Baptist. Oh, hi. The old Baptist used to, have a preaching Bible and a throwing Bible. And I think that's why the Baptists always moved back. They always sat in the back because they wouldn't get hit with the Bible. And oh, really? That's where Pete Townsend got his inspiration. Anyway, I thought we'd participate in something that I like to do, and that takes audience participation. And sometimes we just, seem that sometimes we just need to loosen up, have a little bit of fun, and we should be the happiest, most joyful people on the planet. Amen. It's a quandary, really, because we're supposed to be aware and knowledgeable of what's going on, but then Scripture tells us with much knowledge comes much sorrow. So the more we know, the sadder we get, but yet at the same time, we should be the most joyful people, because this world is not our home. We're just in our tents here, moving through. We're in our little campers, but the point is that we should have more joy, and we should have, we should wake up today. I mean, there's a lot to get upset about if you follow alternative news and you really know what's going on. I mean, it's enough to get you all worked up just if you follow Amir Safadi. Or Safadi? Is he a farty or a fatty? He's a little fatty. There's a lot of jokes in that. I didn't think about it until just now. Let's all stand up. And I'm my lovely assistant, if you will come and join me along with my other lovely assistant. And this is a song that I may have... Yeah, I'm going to get on this side so I don't swing around and hit you. So anyway, this is a song that... It's just a simple little song that we used to do in, like, even children's ministry, all right? And it's a great day to praise the Lord.
And this is how we do it. It's a great day to praise the Lord. And then the next verse is, it's a great day to love the Lord.
This way or this way? Right?
Whatever works.
Okay.
And the third verse is, it's a great day to serve the Lord. And then we'll do all three at the same time.
Wow.
You want to stand in the middle?
Yes. I can block you first.
All right.
What? You ready? Oh, I'm not plugging in. I'm just...
No, you have the mic.
My mic? Well, they don't want it real loud.
Yeah.
And it goes like this. It goes, it's a great day to praise the Lord. It's a great day to praise the Lord. It's a great day to praise the Lord. Walking in the light of God. Here we go. Walk, walk, walk. In the light, walk, walk, walk. In the light, walk, walk, walk. In the light, walk. It's a great day to serve. It's a great day to love the Lord. It's a great day to love the Lord. Walking in the light of God. Walk, walk, walk. In the light, walk, walk, walk. In the light, walk, walk, walk. In the light, walking in the light of God. It's a great day to serve the Lord. It's a great
day to serve the Lord.
serve the Lord. It's a great day to serve the Lord. Walking in the light of God. Hey, walk, walk, walk in the light. Walk, walk, walk in the light. Walk, walk, walk in the light. Walking in the light of God. All three now. Great day to praise the Lord. It's a great day to praise the Lord. It's a great day to serve the Lord. Walking in the light of God. Hey, walk, walk, walk in the light. Walk, walk, walk in the light. Walk, walk, walk in the light. Walking in the light of God. Pretty good for a 75-year-old. Not bad for the geriatric crowd. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I love you.
And you're not the first adult crowd that I've done that made get up and do that. So there's others too, but they're more complicated. I can't sing and play at the same time. So, I mean, I can't play and dance at the same time. So. Aquatic. Think they can use me at the Y?
Yeah.
Show up and make everybody sing that in the pool?
Yeah.
Oh. So, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thanks, Jesus, for the joy that you give us. Joy that surpasses all understanding. That when things are bad, our frame of mind is still focused on you, or should be. And that we will not live in fear or terror of the things in the world or the changes going on around us, Lord, because we know that you are in control and that you have our plan and you have our hands. Our lives are in your hands. Our times are in your hands, Lord. And we know that you went away to make a home for us. In my house are many mansions, you said. If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you. Thank you, Jesus. We have a hope. Praise you, Lord. Amen. I probably have more than I can cover. But every day, it seems like every day, if not every week, if not every day, something has changed in our world. It's just evolving very quickly as we come closer to his return. I think we need to be mindful of the fact that Christ could return any time and live that way with that hope that he's a coming. And but I came across this. I don't know where this came from. You may have read it before. I found it in my mom's stuff. I don't think it's original. I think she probably hand-copied it. But it was written by an Ethiopian during the time from Ethiopia. Have you ever heard of Sadu Waluma? Have you ever heard of Sadu Lawaloma? Anyway, this is a thing that he wrote, and hopefully I can read it. But it's called Send Us More Trouble. Have you ever read or heard any of this? If you have heard it, raise your hand. Almighty God, from the depth of my heart, I plead with thee, send us trouble. When our king was exiled, we were in much trouble with the foreign rulers. We had to meet in secret, preach in secret, and were in constant danger of our lives. That was the time when we worked in harmony with other fellow Christians. Many a night after I had locked up my door and gone to bed, tired from a day's long journey of preaching and teaching, there came a persistent knocking. Thou knowest, Lord, how I wanted to sleep, but they at the door would not let me. They wanted to be baptized. I told them that they wouldn't want to be baptized at night and be hunted and chased and put in prison and beaten. But they said they had seen the Christians' joy.
and they too wanted that religion. Every night there were more and more. We read thy word and talked about it. We prayed through the night. We shared our joy in the Lord. We worked side by side with only one desire, to preach the gospel. I think I cut that part off. Then, Lord, our king came back. The foreign rulers were forced to leave our country. We have peace in our land. We baptize in the daytime. We are not beaten. We meet and pray. Yea, but we are beginning to grow careless in our zeal for thee. Jealousies creep in and spoil the harmony. Petty troubles take on large meanings. We are selfish in our ambitions. Dear Lord, send us more trouble, I pray thee, that we might forget ourselves and be dependent on thee, that we will have no time to become selfish and jealous of our fellow Christians. For Jesus' sake, amen. And like I said, I thought maybe some of you have heard that before. Have you ever heard that before? It was in Mom's stuff. And that's why we still haven't gotten through all her stuff. She always had these little jewels stuck away somewhere in a book or as a bookmarker or something. I have no idea where that came from, but I'm glad you never heard of it before. And but it so rings very true, and it rings very true of our times. And you know, there are so many things that are happening in the world around us, and yet it's a time to be excited and to anticipate. But I wanted to focus on a little bit on trouble and a little bit on being joyful even in a bad time. And we all have bad times. You know, I mean, as we're older, and this is an older group, as an older, the prayer requests are unending for this person in treatment or that person that's got a bad hip or this person has got something. And it's unending, you know. And because we know so many people and so many people around us are aging, okay? You know, I mean, how many cancer survivors are in this room? And, you know, half the crowd and the other half's got something else wrong, you know, with us. And some of it's our own fault, you know, as we learn the poisonous foods and stuff that have been shoved down our throats, like vegetable oil. Don't get me started on that. But you know, it's just weird things, you know, but we all have health problems. We all have prayer needs. And the Lord knows all about that. And I don't know how much time we spend on it, because the Lord knows that these are just old tents and they're wearing out. And, you know, I don't know how much time we should spend on it, but just give it all to the Lord. You know, you got to give, you know, He already knows what you need. He already knows what we need. You know, He wants us to call on Him. He wants us to ask Him. But I don't know how much time we spend praying that way, because you can also rob you of your joy. When you're always praying about sad, bad, sorrowful things, it can rob you of your joy. So, and like I say, the Christians have this quandary, that because the more we know, the more sorrow we bear, yet we are to be joyful. And so I thought I'd take us to Acts today, and we're going to... And I'm going to try not to chase too many rabbits today. So I do have my rabbit trail note here, if I want to go that direction. And because I find things interesting or funny in an odd way, that I realize I don't think like normal people. And I had a... Right after I got saved, and I went to Texas, and I just had to go to Texas because I didn't want to go to jail, and which could have happened had I stayed in the area. So I went to Texas, and I was at this church. It was a wonderful church, a lot of Jesus people there, and I didn't know they were Jesus people at the time, because there wasn't any Calvaries around here in the early mid 70s that I knew of. And so this youth group, man, they just loved me. They just loved me in spite of myself, you know. And I'd never felt love like that before, ever. And they were kids. They're basically my age, you know. But they tolerated me in a lot of ways, and they just, you know, kept loving me. There's this one girl. She was a doctor's daughter. I thought she was pretty cute, but she was way out of my league at the time. You know, given me time, I could have gotten there. But but she bought me this. I wish I'd kept this. She bought me this poster, and it had a silhouette side profile of just the head only, and the one head, the brain was going like this, and the other guy, was going in all directions, all spiky, and all it said was in the caption, "You think funny," and she gave me this poster, and I wish I'd have kept it. I've never seen it anywhere since, but you know. But she, what'd you say? You burned it. But Nina would have completely agreed with her. Mom's not mad. She's having fun. But anyway, I always think about that, you know, and I realize that some of the things I find amusing are not amusing to anybody else. And I've learned that through marriage, that the things I think are funny are not funny to some people. And so we're going to go to Acts 16:11. And there is so much to be said, and so much I'd like to say. One of these days I want to do a sermon that I've already got the title for. It'll be called "The Gospel According to the Eagles." And I'll try to support that. The Eagles, yeah. And you'll see why someday, if Bob ever asks me to do this again. See, with Paul, it's great, because Paul brings his own crowd. You know, to pack the house, you have Paul preach. With me, I'm like the guest preacher. They always said that when I was growing up, you never tell the congregation that there's going to be a guest preacher, because then people say, well, the pastor's not going to be there, you know, to know that I'm not there, so I'll skip that day. Anyway, Acts 16:11. Therefore, sailing from Troas, this is Paul, and he's working his way to Philippi. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. You just laugh and let me say it. I know it's probably not right. And the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the farmost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some time. And of course, it was a Roman colony. It was an outpost, really. It was kind of like a military outpost for the Romans, and it wasn't like a trading city like some of the other cities. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who we met there. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of... Thank you. Who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she constrained us. She twisted their arm. She said, "You're coming to my house. I've got roasted lamb and manischewitz. Come." And that's the kosher wine, Manischewitz, right? That's why I threw that in there for free. And they're not Jews, but they're Jews by birth now. But anyway, so she twisted their arm, coerced them. You know, your grandmother used to coerce us to come over. I got chicken pot pie in the oven. You know, and so she constrained. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters. She brought her masters much profit through fortune telling. The girl followed Paul with us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to be the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. And I thought this was interesting too, by the way. Paul ignored her. How many days did she come before Paul got tired of it and said, "Out with you, demon"? And it is kind of interesting, I thought. So, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour, the demon. And when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. They dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities, the Romans. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs that are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." A little twist on things there. Then the multitude rose up together against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So they're pretty locked down. All right. And man, I tell you what, these guys had to be tough to take the beatings that they took. You know, my great grandmother, if sometimes mom would have to do some grocery shopping or something, so she'd drop me off at my great grandmother's, and it was pretty boring over there. She had a radio, but she didn't have television, and she read books and things, you know. But she was in her 90s already when I was a kid. I think she was 98 when she passed away. But anyway, point is, she was strict. And if I got out of line, she'd go out in the backyard, and she'd cut what she called a keen switch, which was a little green limb off of a tree, twig, you know, not very big. And she'd take her paraknife and she'd get it clean all ready. And then she'd lay it on the kitchen table. "Now, young man, this is going to be next if you do this or that." And I'm sure I was doing this or that. And so, man, I tell you what, she was so fast. And she's just, you know, across the leg, you know, or the behind. And, oh, my gosh, it stings. Nothing worse. Oh, you had to cut your own? I mean, you were like wincing in pain, right? And I'm like, my gosh, these guys took beatings with rods, you know. And I'm like, you know, there's a study that's been done. It says that men today, their testosterone levels are 50% what they were in 1948. It was about studies of men coming home from World War II and stuff like that. In that generation, the testosterone rates are that low, you know. A lot, they don't know exactly what it is. They think a lot of it's diet. A lot of it is, you know, a lot of people don't realize that all vegetable oil is soybean oil. And soybean oil is what I'd be the biggest enemy to testosterone. And so men should never eat soy or cook with vegetable oil. And foods. So anyway, maybe that's part of it, whatever it is. Maybe it's just all the medicines and the vaccines and the fluorescent lights and not enough exercise and stimulation, whatever. Because even most of us never played indoors. We always played outside, we never sat around and, we would have if we'd had smartphones and video games, we would have. But anyway, that's a rabbit trail. And so then, verse 25, I know there's a lot of reading here. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And everybody in the prison. And the keeper of the prison, awakened from his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Because he was a dead man no matter what, right? But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And I'm guessing that even with the prison doors open, even the other prisoners stayed put. This is really fascinating. Really. But they, who knows? It doesn't say it, but I wouldn't even be surprised if the whole prison got saved. They'd all been listening to Paul and Silas singing. They'd seen, two guys singing with joy to their God when there was nothing at all. They'd just gotten the tar beat out of them, thrown in prison, locked down. And that's quite a testimony in itself, And then he said, "Do no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them back and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" One of the greatest lines and questions. What must I do to be saved? And so they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." And I wish that our families were so intact today. Families were so intact today that if the head of the household came to Christ, the family came to Christ. Now it's kind of not like that. We all do our own thing and nobody listens to anybody else. It seems like, anyway. So I did notice something here, and I don't know whether there's anything to it or not, but Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm. We are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down and trembling before Paul and Silas. So I guess he must have been a smoker. So he called for a light. Sorry, I just saw that. I had to go there. Yeah. Well, that opens up a whole door of other jokes. So I'm not going to do that. Like Philip, like... Okay. No. Who does watch this? Hi, Mary. I know that. Pardon me? So anyway, fun stuff. And let's see, was that as far as I was going to read? Yeah, that was what I was going to read. This is all while Paul's in prison, and this is kind of the backstory of what's going on, how he got to prison, and anything. Then you flip over here to Philippians, and you guys all know this stuff. This is one of the best-fed groups of people on the planet here. And so there's not much that I can really say that you didn't already know, but it's always good to remind each other. And if you're like me, I forget everything that I do. I always tell people I'm the best person. I should have been a professional counselor because I don't remember anything anybody tells me. So if you got any secrets, just tell me and I'll. What'd you talk about? I have no idea. I just sat there and listened. And and this might help somebody. But when I became a Christian, I started reading the Bible, and I'd read along, and I'd get bogged down. I'd maybe read a chapter, I'd hit one verse, and it would bog me down. It would be maybe something about predestination or foreordained or something like that, and I'd get stuck, and it'd frustrate me. I'd stop reading. So I'd let one verse that I didn't understand keep me from all the stuff that I could understand if I just keep reading. Right? And I realize that some of that's my own ignorance and some of that's the devil and a combination of you know, easily discouraged, being easily discouraged when you run across something you don't understand. So I began to, and I actually shared to a lot of people over the years to do it this way, especially, you know, newer believers, but I would approach reading Scripture about the same way as I would approach taking those timed tests, like an SAT test. How would they tell you to take the test? They tell you, all right, you know, answer the questions you know. If you hit one that you don't know, don't just put a little asterisk next to it and come back to it, but finish everything you do know. And so I began to apply that same logic to reading Scripture. And then so I would read, you know, I just keep reading. I hit a spot that I didn't understand. I put a little mark on it and ask about this or go back later. But I keep reading because, you know, there's so much that you can gain that you don't have to be a theologian or scholar of sorts. And so that's kind of has always been my approach to Scripture reading. Is you read the volume of Scripture, mark the things that you don't understand, go back to that later and try to tie it all together. And that helped me not to get bogged down in my reading. And so Philippians 4:13. Man, there's so much in here. If I wish we had the bad time, we'd just read the whole little chapter. It's only four chapters because it's so good. But let's just, for sake of time, we'll go to Philippians 4:13. And we'll start with 10. Sorry about that, Paul. I'm trying not to be too ADD on you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. You always wondered, Paul wrote Philippians, that he so... I get the impression that when the earthquake took place and the jail cells opened up, I get the impression that that was pretty early in their incarceration. And then they stayed there, but yet Paul was still, because Paul was able to write the book of Philippians while he was incarcerated. And so, you know, maybe they kept him with all the necessary tools to, you know, maybe the Philippian jailer, you know, it's all reading into it. But well, I get the impression that he must have written most of Philippians after the earthquake incident. You think that's a second imprisonment? Yeah. I was just thinking that that was the imprisonment of that time. But you going to add something, Paul? Yeah, he was. So.
And it's a blessing to us that he was in prison. Yeah. Then he had to write.
He had time to write.
Yeah.
Right. They were the biggest, probably his biggest supporters. Yeah. Yeah. And he said, he went on to say that they were the only ones. He was very blessed by the Philippians. And, and they weren't rich, wealthy people, I don't think, but they gave what they had, and so, you know, and then if you look at the life of Paul, then you begin to see again, you see God's sovereignty at work. You see how he's laid everything out. You know, all things work together for the good of those who know and love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And you look at, you know, how the Lord, you know, arranged for him to really get the tar beat out of him, thrown in prison so he could write more Bible books. You know, it's kind of a tough way to get it done, you know. Like when Nina wrote her book, she went to the Caymans. And yeah, we had a friend that actually lived there for a while, and we had all I had to do was get there, and yeah, so yeah, Nina went down and I stayed home, but she was not under any duress to write the devotional that she wrote, and she wrote it sitting out looking at the whatever that ocean is, and Atlantic. It's one of the big ones. Hey. Huh? It's a specific. Way to go. And so, I mean, Paul didn't get that luxury. He may have written some stuff along the shores of the Mediterranean, for all we know, but for the most part, it was tough times for that guy. And but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Talking to the Philippians, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. That's not Indiana. Though we've learned to be content in Indiana, especially some of us. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, I like that too. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. And like I said, the whole book of Philippians is so good. And I could go on because there's so many things about joy and encouragement. This is one of those verses that always frustrated me. I can do all things through Christ. You see it on T-shirts. You see it, athletes saying, like, you know, before they go out and play the big game and then still lose. And then you wonder, well, I guess he couldn't do all things. And, you know, we kids pray it before a final exam. I can do all things through Christ. So it always frustrated me. And, of course, if you go back and you read the context, get a little more context of the verse, sometimes I think that maybe it should have said, I can endure all things. You know, I know it doesn't say that, but I think that that's really more what's implied. And if you think about it from our English language, I can endure all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's like, Paul's like, I mean, think about it. Paul's getting, he's tied to a post or something, getting a beating. And, you know, I'm sure he's just praying to the Lord the entire time. I can, you know, and he's like, I can do this, Lord. I can give me strength. I can get through this. Give me strength. I can get through this. Give me strength. I can get through this. You know, and I think sometimes that's the way we ought to really look at it. It's like, yeah, give me strength. I can get through this. I can do all things through you, Lord, who gives me the strength. I can get through this. It's in everything I have ever seen, it's the context is about trials. It's getting through trials and hardships in doing all things. It makes a great T-shirt. I'm sure people have made a lot of money on that verse. You know, and but I'm going to leave with that. It's 12 o'clock, and it's important that we have joy. It's important that we find and have joy, and that we don't live in the doldrums. God doesn't want us to live in the doldrums. He wants us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Be an encouragement to other people. You know, pray for them. You know, I had two grandmothers. I guess we all did at one time or another. But one grandmother on my mom's side, she she was a praying woman. She wasn't a great housekeeper. She wasn't a great cook. But she was a praying woman. They didn't have a lot of money. But they were godly people. And they loved the Lord, and they would sit and read scriptures together, sometimes for hours. My grandfather and my grandmother, and because my grandfather passed away, I think, in 74, so I was a teenager at the time. And she lived to be, a little, quite a bit longer. But she was a praying person. And when she passed away, Nina and I both realized, we felt this vacuum that when she went to be with the Lord. We felt this vacuum because all of a sudden we had this woman who was not praying for us anymore, And what the ironic thing is, though, one grandmother would say, the two grandmothers were so diametrically different. And my other grandmother, my dad's mom, she could have a sharp tongue. I believe that she knew the Lord, but she could have a really sharp tongue, very opinionated. And she would just say that about the other grandmother. I remember saying, she's just too heavenly good. She's too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. You heard that one probably. And she's just too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. Well, I understood what she was saying. Because my other grandmother, she was involved in every community thing, and she was always doing stuff. Because she was like the Martha of the bunch, and so we had a Martha and a Mary here, so it's just. What was that noise? We just need to be joyful. We need to be mindful that we are passing through, and that but this is not our home. When we look at the things going on in the world, I mean, I think America's going to hit really tough times. I think we haven't seen anything yet, and the world is changing fast, but things are really lining up for Christ's return. Whether that's the next few months or still a few years, but good chance in our lifetime. I think we all in here agree that we're close. But we still do all the things we're commanded to do: pray for the sick, pray for healing, pray for the lost, pray for one another. But still, guard yourself that you don't get just sad or sorrowful or burdened down. Somebody the other day made a comment to me about they were concerned about the economy and the way things were going in the world and what to do, and I'm like, yeah, me too. But just going to trust the Lord, buy more bullets. it's a bad comment. But anyway, thank you for letting me share this morning a little bit, and I tried to try not to get too distracted. Oh yeah, I missed it. There's a lot of things I could have said. I'm looking on my highlights here. Yeah. Did the guy at the one pastor preach with his hat on yesterday? Yeah. I figured if he could do it, I could get away with it. And I wasn't going to wear the hat. And Nina said, "Your hair's sticking up in the back." So I did that, and it didn't stay, so I'll put the hat on. So praise the Lord. I brought my creation hat, though, so it's a biblical hat. Yeah, you got to laugh. You got to laugh. Praise the Lord. Thanks for participating in the little sing-along we did this morning. And there's a couple more that are really complicated. I don't know whether Nina and I would have to work on it, but... Archie, yeah. You can do that next. You can do that next week. Yeah, let's pray and go. Thanks, Jesus, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, that you've made us with a sense of humor. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't let anybody steal our joy. Don't let the devil steal our joy, Lord. And that we are mindful, Lord, of difficult times. And we know we have loved ones, Lord, that need to know you. We have loved ones that are sick. And Lord, all we can do is give them all to you, Lord, because you love them and care for all of us more than we could ever dream of. And we thank you, Lord, that you are preparing a place for us, that we are temporary dwellers here, that this world is not our home. And we just praise you, ask your blessing on our fellowship here, on each one, present and absent today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's that song. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what can I do? We think of you want a copy of that?
Yeah.
That Ethiopian thing? I figured that it was common, that everybody had heard it before.
Timing, you know, how you can share that with somebody else. I got to think.